Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio.
Who cares wins every Monday at noon on Channel Radio. On the bright side.
Can you hear me out there in the wide world of channelradio.co.uk? Yes, it's me, Angela Bryer Stevenson, here on Who Cares Wins Radio Monday afternoon. And it's the beginning of June. Flaming June. And it is literally flaming out there, which is marvellous to see. And it's marvellous to see a studio full of wonderful people. And of course, without me and Jan Mulligan, the show would not go ahead. Hi, Jan, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Good afternoon,
with
everybody.
Her 15 pairs of glasses on her head.
I am starting a new fashion trend. I'm always ahead of the curve.
If you follow us on Twitter, remember you can tweet us into the show here today with any questions for our guests or for Jan and myself, or just to say hi or give us some feedback on the show. That would be great. You can use the Twitter handle of @CaresWins. We are on the Twitter now in the studio. We will see what you tweet as you type with those wonderful little fingers of yours. If you want to get hold of us in any other way, of course, we have the marvellous telephone, which is 01303 874 998, or you can email us using studio@whocareswinsradio.co.uk. Or if you're on Facebook, you may be using the Facebook player that Channel Radio now has, so you can literally log into Facebook, find our page, but also Channel Radio, listen to the show through Facebook. So it all works in one place, which is marvellous.
Does it make tea as well?
Not yet. I think they're working on it.
Facebook
yeah.
tea bags.
Yeah. So I know there's Channel Radio t-shirts.
They're out.
I just haven't seen mine yet. But yeah, there's Channel Radio t-shirts and all sorts coming. So maybe we'll get Channel Radio t-shirts and then tea bags, you know. So yes, if you want to get hold of us, and of course you want to post on our Facebook page, then of course we pick that up from there as well.
And breathe.
I know, it's just so much information to get out there. So welcome, listener. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Two wonderful people in the studio with me. It is a delight. I've been tweeting about Carol most of last week and into the early morning hours of this morning as well, and on Facebook. Carol has been having some marvellous and wonderful comments and feedback to her prior to her being on the show today. And you may remember, if you've been a long-term listener of Who Cares Wins Radio, you may remember Carol was on our show
back in 2013.
So it's fantastic to have you back in the studio, Carol. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
It's lovely, and thank you for bringing the sunshine. And of course, you also have a colleague with you, and we will explain a little bit more as we go through. But welcome, Julia Robinson. Julia, your business is More Than Words, I think, if I wrote that down correctly.
That's right.
So yes, you are a journalist and
journalist
and copyright. And we're going to find out a little bit more of why she's here with Carol. But obviously, no disrespect to you, Julia, but Carol is my main focus for this morning's show to talk, or this afternoon even, to talk about your, not only your personal journey, but also how and why you're helping bereaved mothers. You do lots and lots of things around coaching individuals, Carol, and that's what we spoke about in November 2013, actually, with all your wonderful work that you do under your banner of Take the Rainbow, which is your business name and your website name. But Carol, we're touching on something a little bit closer to your own heart, my heart, Jan's heart, and I'm sure lots of other people out there today, when we talk about bereavement, and in particular, we're talking about bereavement when you're losing a child, so as a parent. Now, specifically, we've highlighted on Twitter, we said about being as a mother and losing a child. But please, please, the fathers, the men out there, please don't think that we are ignoring you and that we don't think you have emotions and that you don't grieve. Of course you do. And you may well resonate with some of the discussion topics today with Carol. And of course, if you wanted to contact Carol, she would definitely not turn you away because you're a man. She talks to everybody, but specifically her niche target group for the work that she's doing with her life coaching at the moment is obviously attracting bereaved mothers. So we'll probably be focusing just on that area this afternoon because of time as well. So Carol, I know that some people know you, some people don't. Some people are probably listening in and have worked with you or alongside you or could be friends and family. So welcome if you're listening in. But if we can just highlight to our listeners that, yes, you are a life coach. You work with individuals, but also you do, I think, some group work now around something we're going to talk about later called goal mapping as well.
Yes, it's a technique that I learned very early on when I first became a life coach, which is a brilliant technique for setting goals and actually achieving those goals as well. So I want to put that out there as well.
Great. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, if I may. But I'd rather come to the bigger story that we wanted to share this morning. And obviously it's talking about the grief and the process of being a bereaved mother and or father, because it can relate to both. And obviously there's an element of why, you know, telling our listeners why you got involved in this and why you've realized that actually with your life coaching hat and your expertise there, but also your personal experience and how the two have now really joined together and that you're helping lots and lots of other people deal with their grieving and their process.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I just want to say thank you so much for all of the feedback like on Facebook. It's been absolutely overwhelming.
Yeah, it's been amazing, hasn't it?
It's been amazing. Mm. And some amazing people have made comments. So I'd just like to thank everybody for that. I guess I am a life coach and I've been doing life coaching for a few years now. But I'm also a bereaved mother. I lost my son in 2006, very suddenly. And, you know, he had serious mental health issues, which indirectly led to his death. And, you know, at that time, I didn't ever anticipate that I would be able to come here and talk about it today. But, you know, it's 8.5 years on and I just feel I've got a journey and experiences that I would like to share with other people and, you know, to help other people as well that have gone through this process and who are going through this process. You know, I was contacted on Facebook by a lady who lost her son 2 years ago, you know, which is very early days for when you lose a child. And, you know, I said to her, you know, just stick with it. You have to go through the grieving process. It's important that you do that. And it does hurt. I know it hurts. I've been there. But if one piece of advice that I would give to any newly bereaved parents, either mother or father, is you need to push into the pain because, yes, it hurts, but if you don't deal with it, it will come back to haunt you. And unfortunately, that I did just that in 2012, prior to my marriage to my wonderful husband, Steve Macy. I suddenly felt that my world was falling apart and I couldn't understand what was happening. You know, I had a good job. I was just about to get married. I had a wonderful man. You know, my daughter was doing really well with her business. And suddenly everything just felt hopeless. Mm. And, you know, I now know that it was a delayed grief reaction because I didn't deal with it. I didn't push into the pain. I pulled away from it. So just want to put that out there and say, just go with it.
Mm. And from what you've said, there's no time frame. Everybody's different. Everybody's going to handle things differently. But the avoidance is where things get more problematic.
Yeah, I mean, if you avoid it, it can become more of a complicated grief reaction, which, you know, makes it much more difficult to process. Mm. And, you know, when I eventually did go there and had some wonderful help from Cruz, a lovely lady, who helped me through that process and helped me make sense of it all, that's when I was able to move forward.
And Cruz, just to clarify, that is a particular a bereavement counselling service, but it's a charity, isn't it, I believe?
It is a charity, and I would also like to emphasise that if you've lost a child, they prioritise you. So if they've got a waiting list and you are a bereaved parent, you will be, you know, you will get seen much sooner.
Right.
Because they see it as a, you know, nobody wants to lose a child. It's not the nature of way things happened. It's not the normal order. So they will prioritise you. So, you know, just think. I mean, they told me I'd have to wait 6 weeks. And, you know, I phoned them on the Wednesday and by the Saturday, somebody had phoned me back.
Fantastic.
So, you know, just just bear with that, really.
And obviously, yes, just to highlight there, you have got a fantastic support with your marvellous husband, Steve, which also does help in having a supportive network, both, you know, near and dear. But also, I think it's important from my own personal experience, not of losing a child, but of losing a parent. But actually, sometimes your nearest and dearest do be aware that they could be grieving too. And I know you had with your daughter, that obviously you said earlier when we were talking in the green room about how often when you're in your grief, she was going through her grief, you're going through your grief because she effectively lost her sibling, her brother, you'd lost a son. So there was this sort of understanding that sometimes you may want to lean on mum or you may want to lean on daughter for support, but that isn't necessarily always going to be the best way forward for both of you.
Yeah, and you know, both of you are hurting. So, you know, where do you go with that? Do you lean on your daughter, which, you know, wouldn't have been fair?
Mm.
Although I'm sure Liz, sorry, I probably did sometimes. And does Liz lean on me? Because, you know, she was hurting too.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the other thing is, and you know, I do remember because Liz, my daughter, lived with me at the time.
Mm.
And, you know, there were a few times when she was late home from work and I kept phoning her, you know, and she'd be going out after work with friends or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it was just so scary because I was so scared of losing her as well.
Of course.
And I remember coming through the front door one night and she said to me, Mum, why do you keep showing me up? I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep checking up on me. And I think at that point I realised actually I was checking up on her because I was so scared. But, you know, she was absolutely fine. And, you know, she's...
But then it can go the other way because I have a similar experience to Carol, but from Liz's viewpoint. And with my mother, she actually separated more. So she wanted the distance because I reminded her of my brother.
Yeah, so she couldn't deal at that point with it. So
everybody's different. We all have our own ways of coping. But it's finding somebody to talk to that you can, not offload, but you can explain things and have a different viewpoint.
And I think it's important, Carol, I know we've spoken about this before we came on air, but it is important for people to understand that those emotions, whatever those emotions are and when they're coming in full flood or not, it's important to understand that A, that's natural, and also B, that you do seek some help from somebody who is, you know, specialised in being able to offer some sort of support mechanism for you going through a natural, normal process.
Yeah, because it does help you make sense of things. I mean, I have a wonderful organisation called Compassionate Friends, and it's actually manned, it's a charity, by bereaved parents who have been through the process. You know, I can remember, you know, a couple of months after Chris died, feeling very, very suicidal and being very scared by that because, you know, I didn't want to do anything that was going to hurt my daughter and my dad, you know, who were the two closest people to me at that time anymore. And, you know, she said to me, the one thing I can tell you is I've never spoken to a bereaved parent, either a mother or a father, who has not expressed suicidal feelings at some point. It's perfectly normal.
And that's, I think, sometimes the, it can just be that release that you see somebody's shoulders go, oh, I'm not weird. I'm not an alien. I'm actually, this is normal.
Yeah, it's perfectly normal. And she made me think, actually, this is a normal feeling. And, you know, at that point, I just went with it and, you know, stopped being scared by it. And, you know, so if you are newly bereaved and you are feeling like that, it is perfectly normal. But obviously, if you really feel that you want to act on those thoughts, then please seek professional help.
Definitely.
Compassionate Friends, Cruise, there are lots of bereaved helplines out there that can help with those really early dark days.
That's right. And a lot of the numbers are normally free, aren't they? Free phone.
Yes.
So they're not normally a charged call either. So you can find a phone somewhere and normally be able to actually get in touch with somebody at that point as well. It's not a case of, oh, they're not open at 5, you know, because it's 6 o'clock at night. You can ring and get hold of somebody and then find out how you now work through the next step, the next few minutes, the next few seconds, whatever that process is. But it's something I wanted to pick up on because this whole process of feelings, they're normal. And you said that, you know, one of the other feelings often can come across is guilt.
Oh, guilt, yeah. I mean, guilt is one of the worst feelings. And again, I mean, guilt was a really major thing for me because you know, Chris had serious mental health issues. Mm. And, you know, there were times when I had to literally take the mental health services to the door where he was so unwell, mm. Because he wouldn't comply with his treatment. And, you know, and there's lots of ifs and buts, and I should have done this, I should have said that. But, you know, you can't beat yourself up.
Mm.
And, you know, and guilt is another thing that you really need to talk about and get through.
Mm.
Because it is, it can be, if it goes inside again, it can be very powerful and all-consuming. Mm. You know, you can't be in control of everything that, you know, that your child does.
No. Or yeah. even what we do.
Exactly.
Presumably, yeah. Carol as well, yeah. from the emotional aspect of how we're feeling, because almost there's an element of observing others through the bereavement process of confusion as well. Mm. And especially when you're a bereaved parent, that actually this confusion of what you highlighted earlier, Carol, about, well, that's not what should have happened. That's not the order. That's not the process. I shouldn't be at this grave or this funeral and burying my son or my daughter. This, you know, and so there's this confusion of what went on there? What's wrong? And as you said earlier to me about almost having this feeling of you've almost got one step in the grave because you want to be there with them, or almost swapping places. I know people have said to me before, you know, I just wish I could, you know, wish it was me there and not, you know, the other way around. But again, this real acknowledgement of this is all normal. This is actually standard human instinct and the behaviour of what goes on in that grieving process.
Yeah, and I, you know, lots of people have said to me, the worst death that you can possibly have is the death of a child.
Mm.
I would agree with that.
Of course.
I mean, I've lost both parents and the grief has been horrendous, but it was nothing like losing Chris.
No.
It was a completely different concept. Mm. And so, you know, I think, you know, be aware that, you know, as a bereaved parent, it is different.
Mm.
It is different.
And also there's something about triggers. We mentioned briefly on in the green room we were chatting, and I know Jan as well and myself, that there's something. So you have what we call in life triggers, which can bring up, it could be years later, and something, you hear a piece of music, you see something in the street, you see something on the television, and it just triggers an emotion or a memory. And then that can lead on to sort of almost jumping, hopscotching along to then this almost, I'm back where I was. I'm back to square one. It all feels the same again.
But it doesn't last. And I think, you know, you are going to have triggers. I've had lots of triggers.
Mm.
And sometimes they're the simplest things.
Mm.
But, you know, and it will at that time. It's almost like somebody described it to me once as a big wave coming from behind you.
And yeah.
Lifting you off the floor and sweeping you off your feet.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it feels. But then it goes again.
And you land, presumably, fairly softly. And then again. But also that could be the time when you need the support, you need some help, you need to reach out, find somebody to help your baby, metaphorically, but back down to the ground and back down to everything else that's going on in your life, as you say, because you were a parent still to your daughter, you had your husband, you've got friends and family around you.
Well, of course, I mean, I met Steve 6 months after I lost Chris.
Mm.
And if I say this, Steve, you know this, I've said this to you lots of times, is that a lesser man would have walked away.
Mm.
Because he has been through everything with me. Mm. You know, the real pain, the breakdown, the triggers, you know, deciding to come on this program, even, you know, we talked about that in great depth. Was it a good thing to do? Yes, it is a good thing to do, because I feel I've got the experience to help so many people out there. If you'd have asked me even 5 years ago, I would have said, no way, I can't go there.
No.
You know, and just before Christmas, I went to a small business fair in Faversham. I'm sure many of you probably know Kerry Hales.
Oh, Kerry Hales. Yes, who, she's co-hosted actually on here on our show. So, yeah, we know and love her deeply.
I did one of her marvellous life coaching courses.
Oh, great.
And, you know, she stood there with a microphone, looked down at me and said, Carol Macy, why are you not coaching bereaved mothers?
in true Kerry style, bless her.
Hello, Kerry.
Yep, absolutely. Way to go, girl.
And I went over to Marcia Tillman, who, you know,
Abbey Place Clinic, yes.
And I said to her, why am I not coaching bereaved mothers? I should be coaching bereaved mothers. It's important. You know, I'd already started writing my book, which we're going to talk about.
Yes, we are.
In a little while. And, you know, yes, I would love to coach bereaved mothers because, you know, we, as bereaved mothers, we sometimes think we can't have a life.
Yeah.
Actually, we can.
And there's something I'm going to come back to a little bit later, but I tweeted it as well because I picked it up from your blog that's on your website, a personal message to bereaved parents. So if you want to go to Carol's website, taketherainbow.com, you'll find this blog. And what I picked out, one of the many wonderful sentences that you've put together here, a bereaved heart does continue to beat and even feel great love again. And I just thought that was just, yeah, that's just one of the emotions of, yes, life does go on. And something else you said about getting back to a new normal.
Yes, it is a new normal. You're never going to be the same person. Mm. And you're always going to feel that something is missing.
Yeah.
And again, that's perfectly normal.
Absolutely.
But what I've learned is that I am entitled to a life. I've let go of 95% of the guilt. And, you know, life can be good. Mm. And, you know, I've got a motorhome. Steve and I go away with that and we have marvellous
times. I've got a Yorkie bar as well on the dashboard. He's in the big steering wheel. I'm off now, Janice.
She's gone.
Well, let's have a short break and we're going to have some music. I know this particular track is very dear to you, Carol. And actually, if you listen to the music, so it may well bring some emotions up for our listeners as well. And again, it's just to actually there's a certain amount of respect to all of you out there who are grieving, perhaps in any stage, and for any reason. It could be the death of a child, or it could be parent, it could be sibling, it could be spouse. So we're just going to play this. It's If I Could by Ray Charles. So enjoy, and we'll be back in a few moments.
If I could, I'd protect you from the sadness in your eyes, give you courage in a world of compromise. Yes, I would, if I could. I would teach you all the things I never learned, and I'd help you cross the bridges that I've burned. Yes, I would, if I could. I would try to shield your innocence from time, but the part of life I gave you isn't mine. I watched you grow so I could let you go. If I could, I would help you make it through the hungry years, but I know that I could never cry your tears, but I would if I could. Have to be
there isn't very much that I could do, but I would if I could. Oh, baby, Daddy wants to protect you and help my baby through the hungriest, 'cause you're part of me, and if you ever need, set a shoulder to cry on, or just someone to talk to, I'll be there, I'll be there. I didn't care.
Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio.
Who Cares Wins? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio.
I'm a rock star.
And it sure is Who Cares Wins this afternoon. We are here in the studio, myself, Angela Breyer-Stevenson and Jan Mulligan, and we are joined. I cannot express my feelings right now, Carol, of you joining us in the studio, and also Julia Robinson, who is obviously helping you writing your book. We're going to come back to that. But Carol, sharing what you've shared already, I think will inspire so many people out there who may be resonating with some of those feelings you've had. Maybe they're not there yet. Maybe they've just started that process of grieving, or maybe they're coming out the other side, so to speak, and to this new normal that we highlighted before the music break there. And talking about being a bereaved mother, and you mentioned Steve, your wonderful husband, who, as you quoted there, a lesser man may have walked away because he's been with you through a lot of difficult, challenging times.
Yes, certainly has. Yes.
And I think it's important to realise as well that even in the workplace or other friends, family, neighbours, that often you can be avoided, though, because they don't quite know how to deal with you, what to say to you when you've lost a child. And I know that you were saying to me you sort of experienced that somebody sort of dived into a room so that they saw you come down the corridor and didn't know how to deal with you, so dived to avoid speaking to you.
Yeah, I mean, I do clearly remember that day. It wasn't long after I went back to work. So I used to work at a school then as a psychiatric nurse, because I think most people know that that is my background. And I was walking down the corridor and I saw one of the classroom assistants who, you know, I had a good relationship with.
Yeah.
And I saw the look on her face, and, you know, she turned round and she walked, you know, she ran in, well, she did, she ran into a classroom, and, you know, and I was speaking to other staff saying, you know, she was avoiding me, and no, she wouldn't do that, But she did actually go and speak to another nurse, Christine, who, again, I will mention Christine because you were there for me that night. And, you know, she spoke to Christine and said, I couldn't face her, I didn't know what to say.
Mm.
And Christine said to her, don't be so daft. She's not grown two heads. She's still a person.
Exactly, yeah.
The next time you see her, just say hello.
Mm, just smile.
Or
in fact, what did she do?
She rushed up and hugged
gave
me.
Gave you a hug.
And said, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And after that, it was fine.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that she didn't care. It was that she didn't know how
to
deal with it.
Yeah. Because it is a very, very difficult time. And I think it's also very difficult for those people on the, if you like, the other side, looking out, you know, looking into you, Carol, and observing, but, you know, how do I handle, what do I say, and what's the good thing? There is no best thing to say, is there? There's no right way of dealing with it.
Well, no, there isn't. And, you know, and I still experience it now because, in, you know, when it's appropriate, there have been times when I've been on courses or, you know, things like that. And, you know, and I've disclosed about Chris because it's been appropriate.
Yeah.
And because people are hearing it for the first time, you know, I see the look of, oh, my God, and I'm, you know, the amount of so sorries I get.
Yes.
And I don't want people to feel sorry for me. You know, I'm where I am now.
Mm.
But, you know, as somebody said to me, Carol, they're hearing it for the first time. Mm. You are dealing with it. You are living it.
Yes.
These people are hearing it for the first time. So mm. they are going to be shocked. But, you know, if somebody does say that to you, you know, you are a person on the other side dealing with a bereaved mother. We haven't got two heads. Mm. And sometimes it's just good to talk about our bereaved child. Because they're part of our lives.
Mm, absolutely.
Still part of our lives.
They are still there in memory as well, with all the wonderful good times, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Definitely.
The other thing as well that, that we've talked about sort of the support mechanism for people who are going through that, you know, that bereavement process. But you were saying as well about there gets to almost a point, and there's no set time on this, where you talked about it being a between point.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Julia mentioned just now a tipping point.
A tipping point, yeah. Sort of this in between of, as you said to me, the reality, you know, you're between the reality of the death, but also now this question mark over life seems worthwhile, and how do I now move forwards?
Yeah, and I think when you reach that point, you think, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Am I entitled to a life? Because, you know, if you hang on to this guilt thing, you know, I've lost my child, am I actually entitled to a new life, a new normal, a new reality that is actually good? And the answer to that is yes, you are entitled to that. But we all take different times to reach that point, and some take longer than others.
Absolutely.
And so I would say, if you haven't reached that point yet, don't worry. If you have reached that point and you're not sure what you want to do, please get in contact.
Mm.
And, you know, I will work with you at your own pace to help you build a new normal, a new future.
Mm. And that's something that in your blog, I read out just before the music break there, but something else that you put down here, because there's that stage where you couldn't imagine how you'll ever feel normal again, much less happy about life in general and smiling again. But 7.5 years later, you realise that actually when you lose a child, you inevitably lose a big heart, big part of yourself. But actually starting to say that you're putting the pieces of your life back together, this process of integrating the love you carry for your son with the physical loss, but you've actually almost sort of turned that to work for you. And actually then now also with your life coaching, helping others by actually offering a place to talk, but also you're not saying that you are the counsellor. I'm presuming if people were contacting you, you'll assess where they are in that process as to whether it's appropriate to obviously take up life coaching, because it is about then the moving forward process, I'm assuming.
Yes, it is. I mean, if you're still in the throes of grief, then there are people out there that can support you with that.
Mm.
And as I said, there are a lot of bereaved helplines. There's a lot on Facebook now. Compassionate Friends is brilliant, and Compassionate Friends often have local people that will suggest that you meet up with have a coffee.
Mm.
But you know, if you are starting to get into that what now phase, I think that's when life coaching will come into its own.
And that's naturally your forte of, you're working with individuals on that anyway, but there's that added empathy and compassion that you're bringing to your service, your offering in the life coaching field of helping people move forward because of your own personal experience, which is so inspirational for
because
people.
It's been a personal journey. You know, and it's been full of ups and downs and setbacks and good times. And, you know, that's... And I've had all of that, you know, and although all of our experiences are different, there are a lot of similarities.
Oh, yes. Now, something else which is also brings me to your wonderful colleague there, Julia, sitting there nice and patiently. Julia Robinson, just to highlight, your business is more than words. And you met Carol at a networking event, am I right?
Yeah, it was a Metis Women meeting.
Metis Women, yes, we know the wonderful people in Metis. Marvellous, see, networking, it always works. And you are a journalist and a copywriter, so you've actually... you sort of almost joined forces with Carol to encourage this book out of Carol. Because Carol, if I may just highlight, how did this book idea come about? Because you didn't actually sort of wake up one day and go, I'm going to write a book.
No, how it actually came about was Steve and I were on holiday in Loo Bay, and I picked up a book, and it was just a small book. And it was I can't remember the exact title of it now, but it had angels in the title. And this woman tapped me on the shoulder and she said to me, I wrote that.
Wow.
And I said, what did you? So we spoke about that, and it was about a very painful time in her life, and she'd written about it. And I think she, you know, she had a copy of about 100 copies.
Right.
And she ended up being asked for it all over the place.
Mm.
When I got home, I said to Steve, you know, I think I'd like to do something in Chris's memory.
Yeah, great.
And so she inspired me initially. And what I did was I was writing a journal.
Okay,
basically.
Just as you and felt the need to write stuff.
And I called it The Spirit of Christopher. It just seemed right that that's what I called it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Julia did a presentation at a Metis Women event, and it was brilliant.
Oh.
And I sort of tentatively went up to her and said, I'm not sure if you can help me, but,
yeah, but.
This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And since then, you know, we've met up regularly, and it's been brilliant because, you know, somebody said to me, well, she's ghostwriting it. And it was like, no, Julia's not ghostwriting it. She's teasing it out of me.
Mm. And I know, Julia, when we spoke in the green room earlier before the show, you were saying that, yes, it's all Carol's words and it's Carol's story, of course, but almost you're giving her the feedback that where Carol would just say, well, this happened and then that happened and then that happened, you would almost quiz her to get more detail behind it.
Yeah, so sort of, you know, putting in a bit more detail about, you know, what she was thinking, what she was feeling.
Mm.
Because, when, you know, her early drafts were very, this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And it's just trying to, and also trying to get her to think of herself as a writer. Because I think that's the biggest barrier. It's like, well, because I think the first thing she said to me when she came up to me was, I'm not a writer, but. And it's like, well, you can write. I can read your stuff. I can understand what you're writing. You are a writer.
Yes.
And that's, I think that's the biggest thing to get over
start
writing something.
And also your expertise also is coming at it from the point of view of the reader who's going to read it, because of course Carol will know what she means by that, or will she'll know the detail behind it but won't naturally pull it together in the journal, because you'll know just by reading a few words what the trigger of the rest of the story is. But of course from a reader, you're quite right there, and you're offering that sort of feedback, I presume, of I just need to know.
Yeah, I want to know
the description.
Yeah, tell me a bit more about this. What's happening here? You know, what's going on?
Fantastic.
And just, you know, take your time. I think it's taking your time to describe things. Don't just rush to the end. It's the process.
Yeah. And on that note of process, something else, Carol, which we touched on earlier before the show, but you were saying that the actual process of writing this book has actually helped you start to have the positive memories of Chris and almost celebrating the good stuff, the good times.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, when I think about it before then, it was easier to focus on the negatives, because if I focused on the good times, it hurt too much.
Mm.
But now, you know, I can focus on the good times and I can have wonderful memories, which is brilliant. You know, and it feels good to be able to talk about those things well. I mean, I have to say, I need to talk about this. A funny incident was Steve come up with a bright idea of when we went up to Steve's grave a couple of years ago of letting go a Chinese lantern. I think
it was
his birthday.
Yes.
And the damn thing got caught in a tree.
Oh, no.
And over the wall of the cemetery is a row of houses, and I was panicking, you know, that this was going to set this state alight. And so eventually we managed to get this thing off the tree and stamp it out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and on the way home, Steve said to me, oh, I'm so sorry it happened like that. I wanted it to be wonderful. I said, no, because Chris had such a comical sense of humour.
Yeah.
He is up there laughing his head off about this.
That was the best thing that could have happened, really, for him.
And, you know, I said to Steve, I'm glad it went like that in a way, because it was funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that made him feel better because he, you know, I wanted it to be good, but no, it was so funny. And, you know, I was trying, you should have seen this, you know, trying, and the wind was blowing in the right direction of the houses. Just, you know,
oh, no.
We eventually got it out. So, no, we didn't do the Chinese lantern thing.
And I think it's almost, there's an element there of, I think guilt comes in with people that I've experienced and my own personal experience, not exactly as yours, Carol. But actually people are, oh, I'm not supposed to be able to laugh. I'm not supposed to be having fun. You know, I've just lost my child or I've lost my child 6 years ago. There's this element of guilt of, you know, I'm supposed to be down in the dumps forever. And you were saying about this sort of new normal of actually life is just different now.
It's different.
But also I loved it because you mentioned, Chris, when we were talking before the show and you said that he was sort of like a mini Dave Allen. He was this comical feature. And you were saying that if you'd had, you know, these dark moments you'd had of, you know, the suicidal thoughts in those early days. And you said that there was an element of, yeah, but if I'd turned up at the pearly gates, he probably would have, you know, what you doing here?
Yeah, he'd turn me back. He'd turn me back, definitely.
So there is that sort of, that kindness almost of actually bringing him into your mind's eye to actually, you know, what, if he was sitting next to you, what, you know, what would he want for you, Carol, you know, as his mum? And I think that can be sometimes a spur for people to go, actually, yeah, maybe I can take a step. Maybe I can start to look at, you know, a different way forward. Without forgetting, because it's not about moving on and giving up, is it? And letting them go and never having the memory of them. It's actually taking them with you in what you're doing. And for instance, your book, I think is one great way of doing it. I'm not saying that we all bereaved mothers and parents will be writing books, but if that's something that comes from that process, then great. Because again, it's the inspirational approach for others, which I think is fantastic. And the work that you're doing and already, it's sort of without realizing it, you're already talking to people and inspiring them and feedback on Facebook already.
Yeah, I was absolutely overwhelmed.
They can't wait for your book.
Yeah, I was overwhelmed by that.
Well, that's fantastic. And I want to come back. We're just going to have another music break. But when we come back, I just want to talk about this wonderful goal mapping that you're doing, because also I know that you're doing an actual event about it. So if people want to learn more about that. So let's have a bit of a music break and we're going to have another wonderful song, which again, very, very appropriate for some of you out there who may have a loss, but also in general, just looking at life and how we can maybe utilize the imagination a bit more. Enjoy.
Yeah, I'd just like to say this was Chris's favourite song.
So. Fantastic. Well, here we are. So In Memory, fantastic. We'll be back soon.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no country. It isn't hard. I'm not the only one.
contemplation, inspiration, and manifestation from www.mikewaterton.com.
Channel Radio. Certainly is Channel Radio, and of course it's Who Cares Wins, your health and well-being radio show here every Monday live in the studio with wonderful guests. And of course it's me, Angela Bryer-Stevenson, and Jan Mulligan here. She's busy
again
on Twitter. We've had favourites going all over the place and retweets, which are absolutely fantastic. But the important people that really we've been focusing on here this afternoon are our wonderful guests, Julia Robinson, who has been aiding and is still aiding Carol in her book writing to make sure it's almost structured into a book. But obviously it's all Carol's words. It's all Carol's story. But yes, Carol Macy joins us and has been sharing with us her personal experience of being a bereaved mother, but also how she's utilising that experience plus her skills of life coaching to help other bereaved mothers out there in their readiness to move forward into a new normal, as Carol's words were earlier. Not to say that we are saying, yes, you're now ready to move forward and to forget everything that's happened, or to forget your loved one. So something that we just picked up on earlier, Carol, was one of the skill sets you have within life coaching is something else called goal mapping, a particular technique that you do utilize in your own life coaching service. But it's something you're actually doing a particular workshop on, I believe, on the 13th of June. So you're going to do an introduction. So what is this goal mapping?
Well, in its simplest form, it uses both sides of your brain to actually set your goals.
Okay, so we've got the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere, yeah?
So, you know, the left side is the language side, and the right is the imagery and feelings side. The imagery and feelings side of your brain goes to your subconscious directly. So what it actually does is you have two goal maps. You have one that you write in words and one that you write in pictures.
You can't obviously see, listener, but Carol is explaining it very, very well, because left hemisphere, there she is pointing to the left side of her body and talking about, so things like phrases, words, script, and then the right side is you're drawing images, pictures, colour. Yeah.
And it can, you know, the right side can be anything. You don't have to be Rembrandt. It's how you want to.
My drawings.
It's how you want to picture it.
Yeah.
And it goes through, you know, the why do you want to do it? How are you going to do it? Who's going to help you do it?
Great.
You know, one of the very last things you do is actually set yourself a time limit. You have one big major goal, and then you have as many sub goals to get there as you need to.
Okay, right.
So yeah, and Brian Main invented it, and he's sort of sent, you know, endorsed my workshop by, you know, liking it. So
that's good.
And I used to use it when I worked in the field of addictions, and that's where I first taught it, if you like, and found, you know, a lot of people that were stuck found that it refocused them. You know, I've had life coaching clients use it, and it said it's really helped refocus them when they've been really stuck and not, because you have to really think about this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've allowed 2 hours for it because I feel, you know, one, to explain it. And, you know, I'd love people to have a goal at least starting their goal map within that.
Fantastic.
Session.
So just to highlight to our listener, you are actually offering this workshop, and it's going to be in Faversham in Kent at the Abbey Place Clinic, I know that you work out of with the wonderful Marcia. And it's on Saturday the 13th of June. Is that right?
Yes
June 13th, and it's 10:30 to 12:30. It's only £15, which I think is amazing value for what you're going to get in those 2 hours from Carol. So probably the best thing to do is to email you, Carol, if they're interested in coming along, or would it be to Abbey Place Clinic? Or either,
both.
Which would be better.
Either.
So either way. That's so we'll fine. Post all the details, listen, onto our Facebook page so people can find all the details. But obviously Carol's email address, if you want to get hold of Carol for either the intro to goal mapping workshop that she's doing, or to talk to her in depth about her life coaching offering if you are a bereaved mother, or father, if you just want to contact Carol, and maybe even the signposting of where they can go next and where they're ready for, whether it's life coaching or bereavement support. Carol's email is, it's a wonderful email. It's rainbowcarolring@gmail.com. So that's her email address.
And as I said before, I've remarried since then and I don't know how to change it. So. Don't get confused if it's a different surname. It is me.
It's definitely Carol Ring and Carol Macy are one and the same person. One of the wonderful, fantastic, inspirational ladies. And of course, do take a look at her website, which is taketherainbow.com. You'll know you're on the right place because there's a beautiful picture of a rainbow. And of course, she has a Facebook page as well, which we've also been sharing and liking. So you'll see some of the posts that Carol's put up. We've shared them across to Who Cares Wins. But if you go and find the pages, Carol Macy, and you'll find her page there about her life coaching and her work that she's doing there. And also the events. I'm sure you'll be posting those as well. And of course, on Twitter, we follow her. We've been tweeting about her. So Carol is on Twitter. If you want to connect with her there, it's at Carol Macy. And again, it's Carol, C-A-R-O-L. Macy is M-A-C-E-Y. And LinkedIn. So all of the wonderful mechanisms that we know and love, you'll find Carol out there and you can contact her in any shape or form. We are running close to time, Carol, and I do want to make sure that your last song is played because it's also very dear to my heart, which is Bring Me Sunshine by the fabulous Morecambe and Wise. I may even do the movements for you, Carol, if you really ask nicely.
So we're going to make sure.
So we'll make sure that we have time for that. So
I
before
we could all do it.
We could do, couldn't we?
In, oh, now I'm calling.
Oh, no.
Julia and I will sit in the corner, the non-hugging corner.
Oh, go on, Julia. Go on. Just do it for me. So we're going to make sure we play that because it's been quite a popular song recently for people to ask to be played. So before I go into events and awareness and things and all sorts of stuff going on, Carol, and obviously Julia as well, I really, from my heart, and I know probably loads of people who are listening in or listening to the playback later or listening to the repeat on Thursday at 12 o'clock, in any shape or form, they're probably joining me in my huge heart of thanks for you to come on the show today to share something from, you know, a very, very deep personal heartfelt story that not only are you sharing and inspiring others, but also you're then linking it with the work that you're doing and offering it to help others, which I just think is a fantastic thing to do. And thank you for coming on and sharing it on the station with us.
Yes, thank you, Carol.
It's been lovely to be on, and I just want to reiterate, you know, the journey of a bereaved mother is different for everyone. You know, if you think you're ready for life coaching, give me a ring. We can talk about it. If I feel that, you know, it's not appropriate at this point, that's fine. Yeah. You know, I can signpost you to different organisations.
Yeah, you're in the know. You know what will be, I want to say best, but it's not necessarily appropriate for you at the stage that you're at. And it may well be that you come back and talk to Carol later on.
And, you know, I just want to say being a bereaved parent can feel like you're in a very lonely place.
Yeah.
You're not alone. There are lots of us out there and we all support each other. So don't ever feel that there's nowhere you can go or no one that you can talk to.
That you can turn to, yeah. And even just this show, hopefully we have, you know, there's some resonance there with people listening in that may decide, you know what, I can pick up the phone and talk to somebody.
Yes.
And then that could be the start for them in their own journey. So thank you so much, Carol, for joining us. And if you would just stay around and loiter, because we'd like to get a little photo of you and Julia, if we may, so that we can just post that up there. So, yes, to get your glamour shots going on.
Can I just say, because Julia prompted me earlier, the goal mapping.
Yes.
You can use it for anything. You can use it for personal goals, business goals, organisational goals.
Fantastic.
Goals after bereavement, anything. You can use it for absolutely anything.
So it is very, very flexible technique.
Yes, and when you've got the technique, you know the technique, you can do goal maps for just about anything.
Great. Sounds very interesting. I wish I was around. Unfortunately, on the 13th of June, I shall be on a British Wheel of Yoga Development Day. I know, bending
in. I just think of you on a wheel. Sorry, mine goes off somewhere else.
Thank you, Jan. Now, something I have tweeted about, one of the events, I know it's still a way off, but you might need to just get booked in and get your registration done, is the Canterbury Bicycle Ride on the Saturday, the 26th of September. this year you can get your lycra out and get your push bike out, because the money that will be raised from the event is going to two charities. One is the Wheelchair Rugby in Canterbury and also the Kent MS Therapy Centre. So we must also talk
Both excellent causes.
I know, wonderful, wonderful charities. And Mary, we must get Mary back Daly, in soon and talk to her and catch up with her. So yes, Canterbury Rugby Football Club, in association with those two charities. So you can either run, you can cycle. You just could run as well. 25 miles,
they
55
bikes,
miles. I know. And 85 miles. Interesting. So yes, it's the 26th of September. We have posted on our timeline already the link to that page for you to register, but we'll redo it again today, so it's further up the timeline for
and
you.
It gives you some time to train.
Exactly, because I would definitely sort of really highlight that training is required. Mm-hmm. 25 miles at least. If you can do the shorter one, you still need some training there going on. I've signed up for Race for Life. Yes, I'm doing it again. Race for Life. And that is the 19th of July. So if you want to have a laugh and see me huffing and puffing and bright red face, all in a good cause. All in a good cause for cancer research. I have put my Just Giving page up on my own personal page, but I will share it on Who Cares Wins. If you are wanting to donate to cancer research, or just out of a giggle, you want to spur me on and make sure that I can keep running, because I know that you've donated some marvellous pennies of yours. There's also a wonderful friend of mine, Trish Stretton, who is also doing Mad Girl. She's jumping out of an aeroplane, although she is strapped to probably a nice looking man, actually. Maybe I should do that. But she's actually doing it for charity. She's doing it for BLESMA, the British Service Limbless Service. I can't go anywhere run my teeth in the right way today, but I will post it on Facebook if you wish to donate and share with her and just give her that encouragement to jump out of the plane. Then please do. Jan, we've got some awareness. I know it's Carers Week, isn't it,
next week. You're ahead of yourself as always.
It said the 1st of June.
Well, my list says the June the 8th, so I've got it as next week. For this week I have Volunteers Week. Lots and lots of people volunteer.
That's what I meant to say.
So it's promoting the profile of the millions of volunteers, but also encouraging others to get involved. www.volunteering.org.uk. And on the health side of things, it's
actually
Heart Rhythm
there's also
Week.
volunteersweek.org, if people want to. There's two websites I found this morning, and also Twitter if you're a Twitter person, at @ncvovolunteers, and you can post what you're doing.
Okay. Also Heart Rhythm Awareness Week, so anybody interested in heart rhythm disorders, either newly diagnosed or living with that, www.aaaw.org.uk. I'm not from the north. I'm not going
We are running out of time. One thing I wanted to... Well, there's many things I want to highlight. Where are we? June. Remember, is it... What's the 6th of June? When's that? Saturday. Remember, 6th of June, if you want to contribute by going for a wonderful mindful walk in Ramsgate in Kent with Lucia at More Than Yoga. She is walking and is gaining contributions for raising monies for all the people out in Nepal. So if you want to go for a wonderful walk, but also some donating some monies, then Lucia, and that's More Than Yoga. .co.uk, and I will post all of this on our Facebook page. Fear not if you're trying to remember it all. Next week's guest is another wonderful lady coming in to talk to us. It's Sabine Blackaby, and she's going to talk to us. You may remember she phoned in last year about her workshops on the Feldenkrais method. Yes, I said it correctly. Feldenkrais, I think. And it's all about this posture and alignment, working with the body, and how it can help with pain and injury. So she's going to come in the studio and she's going to tell us all about what it is, how it works, and also she has a workshop coming up in Kent. So if you want to then book on that, or even maybe book on it now, so I'll post that on our Facebook page too. Jan, anything else to report in?
No, not enough time. I'll tell you next week. She leaves me 30 seconds.
There's so
folks.
Much.
Can't do it.
Well, thank you, listener, for joining us. Carol and Julia, thank you once again for coming down to the studio and sharing your knowledge and your stories with us, the inspiring stories. Hope it's helped you, the listener. If you want to get in touch with us, don't forget we're always available on @CaresWins on Twitter or on studio@whocareswinsradio.co.uk. We are repeated on Thursday at 12. And of course, we have the listen again for facility on channelradio.co.uk, as well as our Who Cares Wins website with all the archives. We have, don't forget, Richard coming up at 2 o'clock. So if you want your sounds and you want to maybe donate a sound and a tune for somebody in memory of them, or just because you like that song, get in touch with Richard, channelradio.co.uk, and we'll speak to you all.